All right. It's an all black and white documentary series where I make like these 10-minute episodes. And that's straight from me. Like, that's no one's hiring me to do that. I just realized that in my line of work, I'm surrounded by some incredibly talented people that don't necessarily get the kind of coverage that they deserve. And so, yeah, it's like a really moody half music video, half informative, kind of almost spiritual themed take on musicians and why they write their music. And you can get that, you can find that at contrastdocs.com. Contrast with a K.
That sounds very interesting. I'll be sure to look that up. Thank you so much. The movie is called Tipping Point. The trailer is out there. If you look up Facebook, The Old Church, and John Meyer, director, filmmaker, and protest warrior out there on the streets in Portland, taking one for the team. I really do appreciate your time, John. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
We'll be looking forward to seeing this documentary wherever it may be when it does get out there. I hope you let me know so I can plug this and get this out to the folks.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you again.
All right.
Past episodes of Times Like Now can be found wherever you get your programs. Special thank you to the letter J, Cody Robertson, for original music. My name is Trevor Collins. I can be reached Trevor@timeslikenow.com.
KBOO 90.7. Dasha T said that.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Yu Yong Chung. His show, Stupid Little Life, is on now at Blue Sky Gallery through August 27th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, Yu Yong.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joseph.
You are a 29-year-old PNCA grad. And I actually saw your thesis show a few years ago. One of your pieces was a surveillance camera. Just tell us what that was, because it was a installation.
Yes, yeah. So first, thank you so much for going to my thesis exhibition. That was like a while ago. So for my thesis defense exhibition project, I did kind of like, you know, a installation that talks about the notion of a surveillance and the notion of censorship, but also kind of in a very meta way that I did a series of, you know, literal actual censor box, like those like redaction black box. And I used those box to cover a sentence on the wall. And then on each corner of the wall, I put two surveillance cameras, and those surveillance cameras are solar powered, and it's motion sensored. So when there's a people walking by, the camera will flash lights So yeah, so that work is really about, you know, talking about the idea of censorship and the ubiquity of censorship of everywhere, even like the idea of, you know, just like a censorship of the censorship apparatus in not only in China, but also that is also very widely applied in around the world. So uh-huh. Yeah, so that was like the central idea of my thesis project.
Your work in Blue Sky Gallery now is very different. It's photo collage. You have several different kinds. Some of them are printed on, it looks like board, and they're in frames, like sort of shadow box to deep frames. Some of them are vinyl transfers onto the wall. They're very big. They're maybe 4, 5, 6 feet tall. And then one of them takes up the whole wall. Let's talk about that first. As you come into Blue Sky and you go into the back room, the whole wall is taken up by a piece called MoMA, as in Museum of Modern Art. And it's some little characters looking up from each corner. They're stuck on the wall. And then there are these 20 sort of Warhol-type screen prints of Oreo cookie bars. Is that right? With Lady Gaga written on them.
Lady Gaga Oreo cookies.
Yeah. So just tell us why do you call it MoMA?
Yes. So that work, I got the ideas from my first year field trip to New York while I was in PNCA. So PNCA is an MFA graduate program, so one of the things they do is every spring they would bring all my cohorts to New York to visit all the galleries, you know, in major galleries, small galleries. Like we would do like, you know, something like 30 galleries a day in Lower East Side or Chelsea. And then yeah, it was a lot, but it was like a lot of fun to see art. And one of them was that, you know, that experience where some of us went to MoMA, and then we saw Andy Warhol's Campbell Soup, 20 something screen print on the wall, and I took a picture out of that. And then it's like in this work I want to recreate that scene, recreate that piece of memory in my mind through through Chinese propaganda, through photo elements of my life, and then recreate that narrative into an installation. So that's where I got this idea that I want to recreate this screen print, this grid of screen print that is pioneered by Andy Warhol, kind of like a paying homage to this great gay artist that has a strong influence in our history.
Mm-hmm. The little two collections of people there, mm-hmm. They're in the corners. They're all in what looks like traditional dress. What is our clothing?
So those people, I cut them off from the historic Chinese propaganda posters. So they're all people dressed up in traditional clothing in one of the original historic propaganda posters. So that's those people. So the reason why I chose this specific group of people is because this group of people, based on the depiction, there are two male identified figures and around 8 or 9 female identified figures. This is a very accurate depiction of my cohort in my art program, where I was one of only 3 male identified student in the cohort, and the rest of my cohort were female identified. So I was using that to, you know, kind of like a depict what I have experienced while I was at art school, but using the elements that I am familiar with. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, is it significant, like the region of the clothing they're wearing? Do you know where they're from?
They're from multiple places. They're like, you know, kind of like a collection of the Chinese ethnic groups and indigenous group, and from all of the China.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the Lady Gaga bars, they're alternating red and yellow,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a pop-up sort of stick on thing, mm-hmm. and just says yes, accept cookies. And then one other thing, behind the grid on the wall, there's a sort of a pinkish gray shape that I don't know what it is. It looks like mm-hmm. a piece of brown paper or a blanket or something. What is that?
So that is a photo that I took in 2016. That I took in Las Vegas, and that is a vinyl print of the photo that I took. I used them as a background to form a stage for this group of people, this grid of Orioles, and this pop-up to perform on. So in this series of collages that I make, I always include three elements in each work. One, historic propaganda posters, two, my personal photographs, and three, screenshot notification. So the photographs in this series serves as a stage for this, like, you know, figures, subjects, and the element to perform on, to interact. So that is a photo that I took in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a photo I took in Death Valley.
A picture of what, though? I can't tell.
It's a picture of the Death Valley in Las Vegas.
It's a landscape.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Is there such a thing as a Lady Gaga Oreo cookie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is actually very much real. It was, if I remember it correctly, so Lady Gaga released her album Chromatica in 2020. And a part of the campaign was to collaborating with Oreos, and they came up with a special edition Lady Gaga Chromatica Oreos, and it was such a sensation among queer communities, especially the gay communities, that pretty much when I was online, everyone was like going now trying to find Lady Gaga Oreos in everywhere, grocery store, gas station, convenience store. And that photo is actually from the cookie bars, the one strip of cookie bar that I actually bought. I actually bought one strip of Lady Gaga cookies. So I took a photo of that, and then I screen printed from that photo. So mm-hmm. it's actually from my own personal Lady Gaga cookie selection, and I still have it. I haven't opened it. It's very much expired, but it's still in my cabinet.
Kind of camera did you use to take the photo?
Mm-hmm. So I actually primarily take photos with my phone. I occasionally take photos with my fancy cameras, but most of the time I take photos with my phone. I think I am more fluid with my workflow on my phone than on my camera, but that doesn't mean I exclude camera. I try with different methods. Sometimes I will also do film cameras. I also do regular digital 35 millimeter cameras. So yeah, but primarily I take photos on my phone.
Is that just for convenience, or some people like that the files are relatively small compared to working with a 50 megabyte?
Yeah, yeah, totally. I think I totally agree that a lot of people, they have their preference on, the quality the camera can produce. Whereas what I think about the photography. So photos, I think about photographic vision. To me, how can a photo tell a story? How can a photo can tell what artists want the audience to see, to learn? It's, to me personally, it's less about the technicality. It's more about the person, those eyes behind the camera, or quote-unquote camera, in this case a cell phone. And to me, if I can, I am more interested in the photo itself, and instead of which tools, like what tools I use to produce the photo. Mm-hmm. If the tool I'm using is most comfortable with me, it's the tool that I, it's always with me 24/7, then I will just use it. I will use it to its maximum. So that's why I don't always carry a camera when I go out, but I always carry a phone with me. So that's why I always take photos on my phone.
There's another piece called Cape Disappointment, and it's what looks like a mother and daughter. The young girl's probably like 4, and the mother's smiling and leaning over her. The girl's holding up a piece of paper, and then it says on it, like, number 1, Porsche, number 2, Porsche, number 3, Porsche, all the way through, except number 9 is Sauber BMW. And then the heading on the piece of paper is, nobody's perfect. And they're standing on rocks by the ocean, and we have Cape Disappointment here in Oregon. Just explain where this is going. I read it as, tiger mom pushing their kid to be a wealthy, successful person, but there's one flaw, the one car is not as good as the others. But that's just a very quick read.
Yeah. So actually, I think you got really close. You got this is pretty much what I want this piece to say. It's like, that you can say maybe a little bit stereotypical, kind of like a portrait of, Asian parents, or like specifically like Chinese parenting. It's like, a lot of parents, like Chinese parents, they want their children to be, to achieve greatness, to be perfect, to, have to score, A+ or A in the finals. Otherwise, if you get a B or something, you will consider a failure. So like, this work is really about, the idea of, the Chinese parenting. It's like, the paper that the girl is holding is a poster that shows, kind of using a Porsche's like a race record to depict the idea that nobody's perfect, but you have to be 9 out of 10 perfect. It's like, 9 out of 10 you have to be good. You might be able to score the second place 1 out of 10, but you have always to be, honest. So you have always to be perfect all the time. I think this work has really talked about, at least in the past, Chinese parents, they always have a great deal of expectations on their children. They want the children to be good, to be very competitive, but also at the same time, this kind of like, overbearing expectation can harm their children in a lot of ways, because be real, nobody can be perfect. And it's kind of using that idea to talk about that issue. And also, it also actually draws back to kind of my own upbringings, where my father, I think he was kind of that figure, like kind of that overbearing father figure, in a way that he had a great deal of expectation of who I should be and what kind of person I should grow up to, and that gave me a lot of pressures, and that gave me a lot of pressure that I feel like I have to be perfect. I couldn't make any mistake, otherwise he would just be like disappointed. So this kind of have like, you know, is it that kind of like a parallels of, you know, Chinese parenting on a personal level, but also draws to a more universal scope of, you know, Chinese parenting. But also, I also want to use this to you know, resonate people who might also have overbearing parents or parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Yu Young Chung. His show Stupid Little Life is on now at Blue Sky Gallery through August 27th. And he'll be doing a live talk in the gallery at 6 p.m. on August 25th that you can sign up to attend. Another piece you've done is called Earnestly Study Congress Documents. Is that correct?
Yes, Earnestly Study the Congress Document. So,
Congress document. Yes. But it's a bunch of, you know, propaganda, cheerful propaganda people reading a magazine called BUTT, B-U-T-T. So what's this all about?
So, yes, so a lot of my collage work is about the idea of subverting the original propaganda posters, like, you know, taking the figures out of the propaganda posters out of a context and reapplying them to a contemporary American or like a very queer setting. So this work is one of them. So this work, this group of people was taken out from a historic Chinese propaganda poster that portrayed them reading a Communist Party Congress document. And then I trimmed the document, the booklet they were reading out, and superposed myself holding a BUTT magazine that I owned, and kind of like in the same gesture, same posture, and that created a new scenario where this group of, you know, communist identified people, they're actually reading something very queer, very very gay, and you know, something that is totally different from the original meaning. And
would that be shocking in China for the gayness or for the upsetting the political, you know, the official document, replacing it with anything?
I think it would be both. Probably both.
In the background, there's a kind of a gray wall. It's hard to tell what it is. And there's a framed picture on that wall. Mm-hmm. What is that?
So, yes. So the background is a photo actually that I took, I think, in 2018 back in China. I was during summer break in China. So I took this photo of wall with a framed piece of a portrait of Mao Zedong. And and then I covered that picture with, you know, emoji. It's actually a emojis with a hand, and then with a notifications from WeChat, which is kind of like a Chinese messaging apps. It's a kind of like a warning on the WeChat that says something like, you have to agree terms of agreement to, you know, view the content. It's kind of like, you know, I am self-censoring the elements in my photos with a notification, with something ominous, with a warning. So it's kind of like creates that tension between the, you know, the butt magazine, the propaganda figures and the photos, kind of like that idea of, you know, subverting original propaganda photos, but at the same time, there is that underlying pressure or uncertainty or concerns that, you know, you're probably still being watched by, you know, Big Brother, by people from high up. And this also talks to a great deal to my personal identity, as I am a gay Chinese artist, and I'm making art about, you know, very, very political stuff. And at the same time, I am still a Chinese, and I still have to think about, you know, who might be listening to me, who might be looking at what I'm doing. So this work is really about the idea of, you know, subversion, but also the idea of, you know, the uncertainty and the anxiety.
So you're from your family, I mean, you came from Wuhan province, but you've been here 10 years. What's your status? Do you want to go back? Because you talk about the anxiety of waiting for a student visa.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So for the past, roughly past 2 years, I spent almost 20 months just to get my artist visa. So I spent the 20 months to get my artist visa so I can work as an artist and also work as a gallerist here. And, you know, to be honest, a very turbulent and traumatizing experience for me, and you know, with a great deal of bureaucracy and uncertainty, and on top of, you know, COVID, and on top of, like, you know, the huge backlog at USCIS, the immigration service. It's like, you know, it was very, to me, every day, it was just like a very anxious and filled with a great deal of uncertainty. And the two questions, maybe, like, you know, for anyone who has seen, who has followed my artistic journey, they will probably understand that the work that I make, the issue that I'm talking about, the identity that I hold, they would probably be non-existent if I go back. So yeah, so in short answer, I'm not seeing myself going back in the near future.
You don't see yourself going back?
Mm-hmm. I don't see myself going back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, is China that repressive that you couldn't make this art over there?
I think the thing about that, it's, you never know. It's like, in a way that they don't openly oppress the you know, the queer issues, but also they also don't openly support that. So it's like you never know. If your work's gonna take down sometime, or like anytime, or your asset could be confiscated, it's like, you know, in a way that it's very, very tricky and very touchy. It's like you don't know what could happen, so it's just like filled with tons of uncertainties, and I think that kind of uncertainties, it's. And the last thing that I want as an artist.
Just we have 2 minutes.
Okay.
What does your dad think of you now?
Excuse me.
What does your father think of you now?
That's a little bit. If you don't mind, like getting a little personal. My dad and my mom, they got divorced a couple of years ago, and because it was quite dramatic and not ended in a good way, so I don't talk to my dad anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, but I would say if I still talk to him, I think both my dad and my mom, they understand what I do, why I'm doing that, and I think they will support me. And that, you know, that's one of the things I feel very grateful, and including, you know, the support of the Portland art communities. Like, you know, that's one of the things I feel really grateful that I have support from my family and also from, you know, the community in Portland.
Well, it's a really interesting show. There's other types of collage in there that we didn't get to talk about. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Yu Young Chung. His show, Stupid Little Life, is on now at Blue Sky Gallery in Old Town through August 27th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Yu Young.
Thank you, Joseph. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Andy walking, Andy tired. Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he fast asleep. Send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue. What a jolly boring thing to do. Andy Warhol, let's just scream. Hang him on my